but I can't. You always become what you fear. Just remember that, you know. What you resist persists, meaning it's going to win, babe.
Right.
Stop pushing that shit away. Just own it.
Yeah.
And so I start building this, my trauma response. When you go through trauma, there's four responses, but I only talk about three because I want to keep it as simple. Because when I try to figure out stuff, I go, oh, never mind. It's too hard. But if I stick to the three, people pleaser, a loner, like I said, the people pleaser, I'll do whatever you want. The girl that sleeps with everybody, the boy that buys and buys and gives and gives, and everybody takes advantage of me. And then I go into the loner. You sit on a computer. Where is she? Oh, she's in a room again. Mm. Man, she's checked out. He's checked out. Mm. And then we're the one that gets high. Mm. We're the one always disappearing. My mother used to say Hillary and her famous disappearing act. Mm. Or you go into the controller, the bully in school, the bully that has to hits people and says, get over there.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia. And before we begin, a quick note, this podcast is for educational and reflective discussion only. It is not therapy or clinical advice, and listening does not create a therapeutic relationship. If you need support, as always, please seek help from a qualified professional. In today's episode, I'm excited to welcome Hillary Momberger Powers. And in this episode, we have a deeply honest conversation about trauma, shame, addiction recovery, and the long road back to self-trust. Hillary spent over 40 years in and around the film industry, from voicing Sally Brown in Peanuts at just 5 years old to navigating the demanding world of television and film production. But the work she is most proud of happened away from the spotlight, healing from childhood trauma, overcoming addiction, and rebuilding her life from the inside out. Through years of personal recovery and reflection, Hillary discovered a powerful truth. Many of the patterns we live with, people-pleasing, disappearing, controlling, or seeking validation, are not personality traits. They are survival strategies born from unresolved trauma. In this conversation, we explore how shame shapes identity, how trauma responses influence relationships and decision-making, and how individuals can begin reclaiming agency through stabilization, community, and spiritual grounding. Hillary's mission today is to help people stop leading with their wounds and start thriving through their scars by learning to meet themselves with honesty, compassion, and courage. Please check out all the ways you can find Hillary online, and let's just jump right into the episode. Hillary, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me this morning. Really looking forward to hearing your story and the work you're doing. We've been able to talk before, and I really found your energy and the way things fascinating. Find there's a lot of alignment in some of the things you were sharing with me and how I also perceive the world around me. So I think that's going to be fun to talk through. But before we get into all of that, I do want to give you an opportunity to share with the listeners and myself a little bit about yourself and what's brought you here today.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you inviting me. It's so nice that when you start living in the world again, you start finding out there's more people that, as you said, are lying to you. But not only that, our frequency, our energy, we attract each other, we match each other. And that's by no mistake. And a lot of people, I'm just saying, a lot of people would say, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's so weird. We attracted each other. We found each other. And in my view, it really is no mistake. Like I create everything that's on my outside as a result of what's going on inside of me. Mm-hmm. And a little bit about me, I grew up in California, in Los Angeles, and as a child, on the outside, it would appear that I was very lucky because I got this job, and I was 5 years old, and my mother was originally from New York City, and mm-hmm. she had this promising acting career. And in the 30s and 40s, it wasn't fair. You weren't very looked upon as like how great be an actor was. Oh, you should be a teacher, or you really are suited to be a mother. It's like, how do you know what? Because jokingly, I have a vagina. Okay, I'm a mom. Yeah. But my mother was pigeonholed into this. You got to have kids. My mother never wanted to have kids, especially when you're an only child who had been sexually abused by her father and who had been placed in on this pedestal. And she grew into this narcissistic alcoholic, borderline, I call nutcase. Mm-hmm. And then she decided to have children. What a great combo. She gave up her career and had all these children, but she had a plan. We all have a little, deep down in our basements, we have this goal. We don't even know we have the goal, but somewhere down there, we think that something is going to heal me. So she believed that if she had these children and put them in the film industry, she would vicariously get healed. And her soothing of, I want to be famous, it would be transferred. Now, I'm at a place in my life, I have no animosity for my mother. That took a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It didn't take a lot of work for me to learn how to forgive her. It took a lot of work for me to no longer want to be the victim of her. And that's not even just her being the victim, period. Mm. So I got this opportunity to... She took us down Hollywood, and my first interview, I became the voice of Sally and Charlie Brown Peanuts. And I had no clue what I was doing. All I knew was I needed to please mom because she was always mad. When you're a child, you start formulating, there's so many things that you can do. I can cry to get my way. I can scream to get my way. I can please to get my way. I can hide. I can make sure everything's in order. So I picked the people pleasing hat, put that one on. I changed many of my hats throughout my years, but that was my first original hat. And it became my first original wound. I talk about in my keynote, no longer leading with your wound. I spent my whole life, my childhood, my teenage years, my young adult years, vacillating in my trauma responses, a people pleaser. Loner, meaning I disappeared, I changed jobs, I changed boyfriends, I moved. I was always on the run. That's a loner response to a traumatic experience. Or I became the controller, like I had to have everything right. If not, off with your head. The sentence never hit the crime. I don't even know I'm doing these things. All I know is I just got to figure out how to feel safe. So I grow up in this crazy environment. My mother and father drink, fight, fuck, 7 children later, you know. And so she has all these kids and she keeps having them, trying to get her ego, which unfortunately, when you are living on a ego-based platform, the ego is never satisfied. You always need more. Hire more money, more friends, more jobs, more cars, more clothes. I don't care. When you're living on that frequency of, it's a vacuous frequency, the ego. You can't really catch it. You think you got it. Okay, there it is. I got it. And it's, fuck. Oh man, I should have got the red car. Shit, I should have married him. What was I thinking? I'll get another one. So back to how I handled living with alcoholism, a lot of physical abuse. There was lots of beatings. There was lots of days where my mother didn't feed us to punish us. There was such insanity going on. Yet, because I learned at a very young age that if you make it look good, it's okay. So my mother painted us up. We looked like the Kennedy family. We all looked carbon copied. You know, the blue eyes, the light hair, with the smile and the perfect clothes, because my mother wanted us to look good so no one would know what was going on inside. So I start building this character based on, I got to always look good. I can't tell anybody how I feel. I got to pretend like nothing's happening. I got it. If it went in doubt, pack. That was my motto. I got to get out of here. Born with Nikes on. I was just like,
yeah.
And because I kept thinking, is this job going to make mommy happy? Is this job? And there was so much alcoholism, so much. And you would think I would never become an alcoholic, but I can't. You always become what you fear. Just yes. Remember that, you know, what you resist persists, meaning it's going to win, babe.
Right.
Stop pushing that shit away. Just own it.
Yeah.
And so I start building this, my trauma response. When you go through trauma, there's four responses, but I only talk about three because I want to keep it as simple. Because when I try to figure out stuff, I go, oh, never mind. It's too hard. But if I stick to the three, people pleaser, a loner, like I said, the people pleaser, I'll do whatever you want. The girl that sleeps with everybody, the boy that buys and gives and everybody takes advantage of me. And then I go into the loner. You sit on a computer. Where is she? Oh, she's in her room again. Mm. Man, she's checked out. He's checked out. Mm. And then we're the one that gets high. Mm. We're the one always disappearing. My mother used to say Hillary and her famous disappearing act. Mm. Or you go into the controller, the bully in school. The bully that has to hits people and says, get over there and is... There's something going on in the house. I always say the call is coming from inside the house, sweetheart.
Right.
So here I grow up, trauma, which we all have. We're living in an environment where they're constantly doing trauma. Mm. So what happens? I become desensitized. Mm. How you doing? I don't care anymore. It's okay. Or I'm always in the fight or flight, win or right. lose. What is happening? Oh my God. Who are they bombing today? What's going on? Oh my. It's just by design.
Yes.
Just yeah. by design. Because when I'm in a trauma response, like I was all growing up, I don't make choices. Choices make me.
Right.
So here I am. The first, I'm in trouble. My mother, if I didn't make a commercial, would leave me on the 101 freeway and say, walk home. You've disappointed me. So don't think I don't bring this character I'm building as a child. I start building a character at 5, 6, 7, 8. And then I bring it into my teens and my adulthood. And I go, why can't I have a functioning relationship? Mm. What's wrong with me? How come all I can do is make money? Or how come I can't make money? I don't know what your du jour is. But when I work with people, I like to help them find out where the original wound was. Mm. And I respect you fully, but I don't need a therapist to do that because I've got everything inside of me. I yes. may need someone to encourage me, not hold my hand.
Right.
Because then I'm transferring my dependency on something else.
Yes.
I want you to encourage me, encourage me to have the confidence I already have instilled in me to allow it to look it in the eye and say, you don't mean anything to me anymore. So I go through this period of being so traumatized. Think of tremor, the word tremor. Everything comes from the Latin origin. Mm. So if you look at trauma, it's from a tremor. What happens? Whoa, it throws me off balance and it scares me. Not because it's scary, it just removes me from my calm self and throws me into another paradigm.
Yeah.
And so I go, oh my God, live, die. Is it going to hurt? Am I going to die? So I'm living in this blisters on my hands. I'm biting my fingernails. I'm like pinching my face. I'm cutting my hair. Like now I'm starting to implode. I'm starting to destroy myself. So I move from people pleaser. And I realized my mother is spending equivalent today, at least $500,000 my mother squanders and throws it away. And meets a drug dealer who brought crystal meth into California in 73. As she said, Hillary, he's a chemist. He's going to win a Nobel Prize. I'm like, sure he is. He's a meth head. So she leaves my father, who was West Point guy, and married, and gets together with the junkie. Of course, my mother's an alcoholic. Mm. She's a little bored, changed the flavor up, stirred up. And so I realize I'm being prostituted, basically. She tells me, since you're not making any commercials as a young little girl, we should probably put you in porn. And that's when I said, I got to get out of here. And so good girl turned totally bad. Now I'm no longer the people pleaser. I become the loner. I start disappearing. I start running away. I start stealing cars. I start getting arrested for assault and battery. I'm sorry, for robbery. I'm just doing whatever I can. And I'm in a survival mode. I don't know this. I think I'm living. But what I am is my reptilian brain has taken over. And it's like Tyrannosaurus Rex, you either eat them or they're going to eat you. So I find any possible way for me to just get by in the day I'm in with this limited thought process because I'm so trapped. Mm-hmm. Your brain freezes when you're in trauma. I can't make a decision. And then you become what? The victim. Now I take on a new persona. God, everything happens to me. Everybody takes it back. And now I start realizing when I get into my song.
Yes.
I start getting, what happens? I get a crowd. I sing. I bring people in. Protective services, foster homes. It's, oh my God. And my ego, I'm trying to get my ego satisfied because I have no connection to a higher self or a higher power. Why am I power? And my power is so fractured and I don't even know it. It's so hurt. My mind is so hurt. It hurts. My mind stores every single memory, thought, feeling is all stored in here and I'm hurt. But I won't tell you because I've already learned you got to look good. Don't let them know how you're doing. Great. Really, what happened? I heard so-and-so died. Oh, yeah. Stuff happens. Like, I cannot connect with this inner self because I don't know how to sort it out. I still have this infantile ego, this childlike thought process that just says, oh, my God, get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. I'm trying to have a relationship with that shit going on in your head. But I know thousands and thousands of people, and I'm not exaggerating because I've been around a couple minutes. I'm not 20. And shit, I'm not 20. But so I see the process. It's like how many people are living in this paradigm and they don't even know it. Mm-hmm. They don't even know it. They just think they need to get on Amazon again and shop more and buy the new house. And when I get over there, I'll be happy.
Yes.
That's a trauma response.
Yeah.
Because you can't stand how you're feeling right now and you don't know what to do with it. So I take all this stuff and good girl turns bad. I become the controller. I start stealing from my mom. This is my middle name. And my mother says, you're the most defiant child I have. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm defiant. I don't even know what it means, but it sounds great because I'm getting more what? I get more and more victimism. I'm just building another character.
Yeah.
I don't even know it. I think, oh, she's hard-headed. No, I'm going to stay living like this so I can keep getting as much as I can because I don't want to feed myself anything. So I go and I go through this whole thing. I drop out of high school. I go to 7 high schools. I'm running away in California. Yeah, the cops know me by my name. I'm that girl. I don't care. I think I'm just going to kill myself anyway. One day it's just going to be over. I'm like, I don't know how to get out of this. I just don't know. And so I find drugs and alcohol. I found how to get out of it.
Right.
I didn't do it to get high. I did it because it put a new spirit in me. Get it? Spirit put a new spirit in me. I was no longer Hillary anymore because I didn't know what to do with Hillary. Mm-hmm. But you would never, ever know because I smiled, I performed well, I told everybody everything was great, I was funny, I'm funny as shit. Trauma. I can make fun of myself like that. You can't shoot me, dude. I am already dead, that person. I ended up dropping out of high school and going to high schools. Got tired of being hit by my mother. I hit her back. She sends me to juvenile hall, arrests me for assault and battery. And I remember that day when the cops came, I thought, finally, there was such a sense of relief.
Yeah.
that I was getting out of this crazy. The police were always there because my stepfather's drug. They were trying to pop him, the DA, the FBI. There was so much craziness in my house. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't wait to get away. And you would think I would all of a sudden become Lily White, join me and Princess for Mother Teresa. We're going to start a farm. But no, I ended up taking my trauma and creating my own.
Yes.
So now I leave one household and I get involved with a guy that beats me up. I'm 16 years old. I'm living on the streets. I'm living in a warehouse in Compton. And I'm like, oh, I'm living. The illusion of grandeur going on. Like, this is it. I made it to where you're in the ghetto on North Long Beach on Atlantic and Artesia selling pots and pans. I don't need an education. I just need to learn the streets. Defiant. I'm like my control. And I'm in trauma all the time. It's always, well, there's Hillary. I wonder what she's got going on today. I was exhausting. I was exhausting to myself. And I suck the life out of everybody. That's not because I had no idea I was doing there. Because this is the way I lived. Mm-hmm. This was normal for me. So by the time I was 21 years old, I had lied to get into a little nursing college because I'm a bullshitter. You know, when you're in survival, oh, you'll figure it out, honey. That's why I always say when I work with the women, they say, I can't do it. And I said, oh, honey, you'll figure it out. You figured out how to fuck your life up. You will figure out how to do something. So here I am, a kid who was raised Catholic. And I was like, obviously I was made for purgatory. That's it. I knew it. It's like, who's going to purgatory? Get that one. Cigarette right quick. I was like, I'm not going to believe in God. There's no such thing as God. God hates me. So what happens with that information? I have to be my God. There is where the ego even builds up even more. The ego's a good thing. It's Eve. Wow, we wore the same colors. That's a part of my ego. As the super ego. But when my ego is my fuel, I siphon it out. Like, I'm amazing. And someone says, oh, God, it's her again. Mm-hmm. I'm such a piece of shit. I should kill her. Nothing. I can't do anything. Of course, my mom threw me away. And then I go deep down in my basement, which I call my trauma bill. And I go back and I go, oh, remember that time she said that? It's not what was done to me. It's what I've done with that information. So my mother not feeding us because she's so fucked up. And she is so hurt. She's hurt. Hurt people, blah, blah. That's such a great, catchy, yet it's true. She was damaged and she thought by having children, it would heal her. And so on. And that's that hereditarial trauma we pass on. We don't even know I'm doing it. So my mother gave me these, I call them principles, which are truths you live by. My mother's principle was, I'm never going to get anywhere without her. Boom, there goes my mind. So I'm never going to get anywhere. In the back of my basement, I'm pulling out these things because this is how I respond. AKA react to everything. Tries me, give me a hug, and I flinch. What the fuck are you doing? Because I think I'm going to get hurt. It's just a response.
Yes.
So here I am. I'm like, I'm not living. I'm being lived. I'm not thinking. I'm being thunk.
Yeah.
So here I go throughout this whole life. And finally, someone says, believe in God. I'm like, are you kidding? There I am again, my middle name. But for the grace of God, I had an experience where when I was trying to have fun and then fun becomes I should kill myself all the time. I'd suicide attempts. I'd overdose the first time on Percocet. I, 21 years old, I'm sitting on a fire escape in Venice. I'd gone from ghetto to ghetto. And I went to a grand mal seizure because I don't know how to stop because I just don't want to feel just go away. And the notes me, I looked up and I said, if there is a God, please help me. And it stopped. And I would love to say I went, like I said, back to Mother Teresa and we started a farm, but I didn't. I just thought, wow, I didn't think. I went, oh, okay, that was good. Maybe there's a God. I don't know. Dismiss, dismiss, dismiss. Because something I don't understand, I just dismiss.
Right.
And that's a very habit of most people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Oh, they're assholes. It's mm-hmm. like we go into judgment. We go into control. I don't even know I'm in a trauma response. So when I'll get into how I self-soothe myself and how I help others. And I encourage people to have a little power over their lives, not as God, but as yes. guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Not as God, but as guidance.
Yes.
Difference. Big difference.
Yeah.
So I go ahead and I have this experience. And like I said, I've been I never graduated from high school, but I would go to these high schools and say, I don't want to do the work. It was like, I couldn't commit. I meant well, couldn't do. I had all intentions of showing up. How many people do you know that go, I'm going to do it January 1st. I'm going to go to the gym. Okay. We do that one day at a time, sweetheart. Mm. We don't do it for the rest of our life. But I can't see time. Because when you're traumatized, you stop. You're stunned. That's the deer in the headlights thing, you know? So all of a sudden I'm live, die, good, bad, black, white, good. I'm so in a duality state. I'm like crazy. So I go ahead and I decide to kill myself. And I run into a guy who's in a 12-step program who I slept with because that's what I do. Girls do that. Are you my daddy? Are you my daddy? Are you my daddy? Hold me, fix me, love me. I don't know how to do it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep throwing myself. Guys do it with money. They do it with people pleasing, with girls and with drugs and this and that. I have my body. You have your mind. I go from child icon Sally Brown to trollop to nightmare to drama mama, whatever it is. I'm not living. I'm being lived.
Yes.
And so I end up, the guy says, come to an AA meeting with me. And it was the start of my journey. There's no such thing as all of a sudden. That's a concept that we have made up for us to feel safe. Everything is about us feeling safe.
Mm.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Stability, stabilizing is the most important thing in my life today.
Mm.
Before it was, I wanted to have fun. Let's do it. Let's get it. Let's go, go. But I've learned that. That old saying, serenity is my most important thing. I don't like, let me light some incense. It's funny. I joke. I play because I don't try to be a character anymore. Dude, right. I just do things like, I need to simmer the fuck down. I need to take a nap. When you're a kid, you say, oh, honey, you need a nap. Do you need a bottle? Do you need a hug? So simple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you don't receive that, you don't even know how to self-soothe.
Mm-hmm.
I keep going outside of myself. Like I said, are you my daddy?
Yes.
Should I get another degree and another degree and another degree? Everybody does it in their own way when they're in their own personal trauma line, trauma bill.
Yes.
So I get flatlined, meaning I almost die. I start getting into this recovery, meaning recovery means take a break, babe. Take a break. That's what it means. Take a break.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always on the run. I've been on Ready for Freddy my whole life. Maybe good, bad, or indifferent. And all of a sudden, I'm learning how to stabilize. I stop drinking. I no longer take on another spirit. Now I'm with Hillary.
Mm.
Now I got to really look at it. Now the girl's going to emerge and I'm going to see. I always joke with my girlfriend. I said, I don't have character defects, baby. I am a defect of character. But when you first start stabilizing, everything shows up.
Yep.
It's like a bomb goes off, everything falls, and you're like, oh, wow, there was a lot of damage. Shit. And my old character is, let's get the fuck out of here, pack up and move. But now I'm at a place where I am ready to attempt, because it becomes an attempt in the beginning, to really take a peek at who I am as a character and the woman, that what character I built because of where I come from, mm-hmm. who I am, my brothers, my sisters, my outside environment, my ecosystem. I'm a diamond that's being pressured. Mm-hmm. Now, today, I can look at myself in the mirror and I don't go, "You're so hot." I go, "You're a really good woman. You're a good woman. You are solid." Like, sometimes I will say things to people, and I have a friend that calls me the truth setter. He always says, "Oh, if it is the truther," because I don't have a problem saying the truth, because I know that the more I enable them to stay in their lie, the sicker they're going to get. So I get sober and now what? So God gave us the gift of seeing, tasting, touching, hearing, smelling. The sixth sense is where I get to tap in for the mm-hmm. power of seeing, tasting, touching, hearing, smelling. But most people go, "I don't need that one." You know, that ego, mine, I got my stuff. So most people try to soothe with seeing. They want to have beautiful things and lots of women and lots of men. Tasting, they want to eat and gorge and gluttony. Give me more and more. Touching, everything is about mine. I got to have it. Got to have it. Her, him, her. Feeling, I live in my feelings. I'm feeling this. I love it. The girls I work with, she's like, "This is what I was feeling." And I can be really, I'm like, "Honey, I don't give a shit about your feelings. That's going to change as soon as you drink a glass of water." That's going to change when you walk across the road. I can't keep up with your little roller coaster / stock market. I want to get into action.
Mm-hmm.
Actions create a thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the opposite. So I go ahead and I start stabilizing. I start sleeping. I start eating well. I start surrounding myself with people that are not all about, "Give me gonna like them, fuck them, I hate them, I'm gonna kill them." I start soothing myself. I don't even know I'm self-soothing. All I know is I feel a little safer. And this is the feeling that I have been so hungry for my whole life. I know when I was a kid, I just didn't feel like I was enough. Like, no matter what I did, I wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the right friends. I didn't have the right boy. I didn't have the right this, that. We go through that. Yeah. I'm trying to search and find who I am and where I fit into this mm-hmm. planetary, whatever. It's flat earth. No, just kidding. I had to throw that into the stroke. But so I don't even know. But then, because I've been so stalled, I can't grow out of that. I can't really investigate because I'm afraid I got to live, die, win, lose. So I can't experiment what works for Hillary. So anyhow, so I started stabilizing. And that's the first part of calming your trauma down. Like I said, when you're a kid, do you need a nap? When I was in kindergarten, they were stabilizing us. They were trying to calm us down. They were trying to implement habits that go, "God, I need a nap, but what do? I need 5 more cups of coffee. I need an energy drink. I need some whatever drug of choice. God, I'm so stressed out. I need Valium. I need fentanyl." That's how we learn to self.
Yeah.
So learning that you have the power within you, because I am of a frequency. That frequency is this higher being, the superior higher being I choose to call God. You know, that's, I named it, we named it, we all named it. And this frequency took a little bit of their spark and said, "Everybody gets a little bit of me, baby." Boom, boom. Go ahead and find me. It's like, where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Where's God? And what happens is that frequency appears because my senses aren't that acute. It's so temporary, seeing, tasting, mm-hmm. touching, hearing. I'm starving. I ate a hamburger an hour later. I'm like, fuck, what else is there?
Yeah.
So my senses are very limited, but my sixth sense is omnipotent. Mm-hmm. It is so supreme, so connected to infinite.
Yes.
It's an infinite part of energy, but I can't see it. Mm-hmm. My finite mind goes, it's not there. God's not there. He's not here. He didn't give me my car. He didn't give me the girl. He didn't give me the guy. That's very finite thinking. Like, either God is or God is not.
Right.
Period. So really, that's the only black and white you get in life. Otherwise, there's shades of 98 shades of gray.
Yeah.
That's fine. So I go ahead and I get into this spiritual program and they say, believe in God. And I was like, I've already had this preconceived idea that I was sentenced to purgatory. That's why I had my mother.
Mm-hmm.
We used to call her Satan. That was my mother's middle name. It was a lot of fun. Shit show for days. But like I said, I have no animosity.
Right.
I love my mother. I'm so grateful she gave me strife. I'm so grateful she gave me less because I became so hungry for more. She didn't give me love. I was starving for it, and I figured out how to give it to Marie. Thank you, Mom. If you would have handed it to me, I would lack of appreciation would have gone for days. So I go ahead and they tell me in this program that I got to start believing in a God. I'm like, all right, how do I do that? Talk to him. What does that mean? If you wanted to talk, get to know me, what would you do? Would you call me?
Yeah.
Start calling God. So I would say things like, God, I don't know if you're even here. Because I'm playing God. I don't even know if you're here, spoiled brat. But if you are, buy me a house.
Right.
Boom. See, God's not there. How about ask him for simple things like, can you please quiet my mind?
Mm.
Well, I don't want that. Why? Because I want a car. See how I'm the infantile thinking?
Yes. Yes.
What do you want for dinner? I want a candy bar. What about some vegetables? Ew. I'm the same thing with God. I want a house. I want a car. I want a job. But how about if I start getting fed from the inside? God, can you give me some peace? Mm-hmm. Can you help me stay sober so I can stay in the day that I'm in? Can you help me just be okay with Hillary? Can you help me not hate myself so much? So I would start having these conversations with this God I don't understand, but I act as if. Because now I'm learning how to bring the body, let the mind follow me later. I would say a thought. I got to watch my thinking because this is where my hurt mind is. I have all my memories here. I have all my past pains right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go to this mind. And I have to ask God to be with me, help me think, help me see, help me act, help me be, help me. Supreme being that created me in the first place, this magnificent, incredible, just frequency that I can't even see. You can't see sound waves. You can't see that. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
My limited, finite seeing, tasting, touching, hearing, smelling goes up, it's not there.
Right.
So that's where this jump from no way to possibilities to faith. And so I start believing, okay, maybe he is going to help me. And all of a sudden, I see something happening on the street where people are angry and screaming, and I don't want to get involved anymore. I don't want to go be Captain Save-A-Ho again. I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I want to allow them to have their own experience because I'm trying to be in mine.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden I realize I'm stable.
Mm.
And once I get into that energy of stabilization, then I can go into a community where I am with like-minded people. I vibrate at the same level. I'm attracting that. What I said in the beginning was, is life happening to me because you're creating it. And so I go into this community and now I start hearing, hey, Hillary, it's so great to see you. How are you doing? What happened with that job? And I'm like, wow, people like me. I'm not, oh, here she comes again. Here's drama mama. All of a sudden, people are like, I get some self-work, some real self-esteem. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not, I got a job. I got the right curse. Here's my self-esteem. That's bullshit. That's fleeting. That's like the comparison to happiness and joy. Happiness goes like that. Joy, that's like gold. Mm-hmm. That's the oil that keeps your bones. So I go from that to, wow, I actually, I'm doing okay. Wow, I showed up today. I'm helped. People want to see me. Like, there's like this aha moment because I'm stabilized enough to see what's going on around me. And now I'm at a place where I can go out and get a job and be productive in my community. People can depend on me. I show up. We're the final part of your stabilization, my pyramid of evolving. We all got the pyramid. There's one pyramid in this world, and we got another one. I'm soothing. I'm taking care of the body, the mind, and the spirit. Because I'm tapping into a source I don't understand. And I say, God, can you help me be in the day that I'm... Can you help me just not have an opinion? God, can you help me? My mind goes straight to, if I were to say, I look at your beard and say, oh, he's got a beard. He's probably an alcoholic or whatever. I go into immediate judgment.
Right.
Because I'm using my old memory for that.
Yes.
Now I'm practicing going, is this real? Where's this coming from? Hey, I'm not afraid to go deep down in my basement because I got a power with me that can soothe my mind and quiet my thoughts and let me see the good in everything. I got my discernment. I've been given the gift of discernment. We all have. Mm-hmm. And I'm start claiming it, meaning, oh, thank you. I don't know how to receive when I hate myself so much. I can't receive anything because I don't know what love is. Now I'm saying thank you for my discernment. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my quiet mind. Thank you for helping me in the day I'm in.
Yep.
So all of a sudden because you hear this word, all of a sudden, I just said that, I catch myself.
Yes.
That all of a sudden is a copulation of every day I do a little bit more. The all of a sudden is my eyes have woken up to see the truth. Mm-hmm. That's all of a sudden means, because I hear it just happened. No, it didn't.
But I think there's a buildup to it too, right? As you're talking about everything, like you talked about that first experience at 21. So all these little things are happening and slowly it's building up. It's not like all of a sudden you wake
up. Exactly. It's a couple of my eyes become, it's like a pressure. The pressure is, boom, I'm a zit. Whenever it comes out.
I just
saw it.
Yes. And then once you see it, you can't unsee it. So I appreciate all of that. Now, I do want to bring a lot of the things you touched on. So I really appreciate you walking us through the whole journey. And you were talking about the trauma. And I think part of it, what I talk about quite a bit is shame, right? Being stuck in shame and everything you were talking about in terms of coping, whether it's people pleasing or controlling or trying to escape, and escape can be running away or indulging in substances, whatever escape you can find. But the other thing you touched on was not really being connected to yourself. So when we're in shame, we're unable to feel what's going on inside. It's all about how do I see the external world and how do I... Even people pleasing is a form of control, right? If I can control other people's perception of me. So there was something you shared, and I want to understand better, especially from a female perspective, when part of that people pleasing is if I can have other men in my life and maybe I sleep with them, however it is, there's so much judgment around that. But if we were to take a lens of compassion and empathy, are you able to explain what is going on? I know you touched on it briefly around, okay, can you come save me? Can you be my savior? Whatever that looks like. But we tend to judge the behavior of sleeping around. But it's, again, it's just a coping mechanism when it comes to dealing with the shame.
Yeah. Shame is I am a piece of shit. Guilt is I've done some shitty things. Yeah. When... We're the pressure cooker. I was talking about the diamond. It's the pressure world has this judgment on good, bad, right. There's the duality.
Yes.
So it's, oh, she's a whore. She's not. And I'm very vocal about the stuff I've done.
Yeah.
And I because I said in the beginning, you can't kill me. That woman is already dead.
Mm.
You can't hurt me with the stuff I've done. I've done so much to my stuff, to myself. I say whatever you want. Babe, it's sticks and it doesn't get me anymore. Mm-hmm. I have accepted that I am not what I've done. I was trying to be not who I am with what I've done. It's a little deep, but as a girl, I didn't get a lot of attention from my mother. There was not a lot of hugging. Mm-hmm. I love you. You're beautiful. And I found, I'm just trying to get my needs met. I don't even know it. Mm. So here is a boy that says, you're cute. Soothe. I hear something. Something penetrates me that I'm not getting in my environment. So when other women shame other women, that's worse than a guy. A guy can call me anything, and I'm like, whatever, dude, you're the one who wants me. Let's put the mirror up, dude. Mm-hmm. So trashy, how come you keep coming after me? What does that make you, buddy? Mm. But when another woman shames another woman, it's piercing. And it's piercing because I know she's right. That's why it hurts so much. Mm. Yet the reason why that we judge and make fun of is because if we do that, we think we'll never become that.
Right.
But we're all one thought away from a bad decision.
Yes.
One step. How many women do we get involved with? I talk to the women, and it's even with, I have these girls that marry men they don't love. You're no different than the girl that's saying, $100. Mm-hmm. I just let them see they are no different.
Yeah.
They're wearing, you're still got a coat on. It doesn't mean it's from Burlington or it's from Saks Fifth Avenue. It's a freaking coat.
Yeah.
So that's what you're cloaking yourself with, because there's a part of you that goes, I am not good enough. And that's the part we get to look at. It's like, where did you learn that? Who told you that?
Mm.
What did your mother saying, I never wanted you, I should have aborted you? That didn't mean it was the truth. Mm-hmm. But because of the source where I got it from, I took that fact that she said, because it was real, and I became a character of, I acted out, I became, I'm really good at following direction. We all are.
Mm-hmm.
So I became this girl that just was unruly, and that became my character.
Yeah.
So I had to break it down and look at it and go, God, why did my mom say that? My mom said that. I had to look at it. I kept to look at the facts. My mother was hurt. She said that because she wished she had a career. I got to look at the real truth behind what she said to me. And I got to look at the character I chose to become as a result of what she
said.
My brother just said, she's fucking crazy.
Mm.
Me, I was like, it's true. I'm a piece of shit. I'm not enough. I'm not pretty enough, smart. I am not enough. There's my underlining. There's my elevator music that's going on and all day long. And then, but what's the fear behind that? Is it true? And I'm living in this fear. It's true. I'm not enough. I hate myself. And that becomes my character. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you want me? Do you need me? Because I'm trying to make that old thought wrong. But then every time I get involved with these boys and they rape me, I've been raped 3 times. Did I not indeed set the ball rolling? I'm not saying it was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 50% of this equation. I got to own my shit. Not because I want to beat myself up. I'm owning it so I can be free. Mm. I want to be free. Yes, I did some shitty things. Yeah, I was promiscuous. So what? So what? You can't judge me any worse than I can. So these women that go, oh my God, I'm such a... So what? Okay, let's facts. All right. You slept with half the town. Bravo. Okay. Next project. Let's move on. How come? What's going on? Mm-hmm. Why do you hate yourself so much? Who told you that? Who told you that lie? Because that principle is their truth and you just owned it like a, you took it and ran.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that, that judgment piece is so crucial because I think when I'm able to objectively look at it, if I'm judging someone else, it's a part of me that I'm seeing in them that I don't like, or like you said, there's a fear that I may do something like that. So it's not even about the other person. It comes back to me. And when I can sit with, that's when I'm able to really hold myself accountable. And it's not so much focused on the other person, because by focusing on the other person, I'm trying to make myself feel better that, oh, look, I'm not like that. But like you said, we're all capable of it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we had talked about before was that whole concept of confronting evil or looking into the abyss. I think it's as much as we tend to shy away from those things or protect ourselves, I think there's something profound in being able to confront that and then see the other side of things, which could be that spiritual awakening, which can be that connection to God. I feel personally, just from personal experience too, confronting that evil also is good because I can realize that I'm also capable of things, but I choose not to do it. And that brings about a lot of empowerment. Some of the things you've already touched on in terms of empowering people, when you know what you're capable of and how bad things can get, but you choose light over dark. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I remember I had a therapist when I first got my first in the 22, I worked at a rehab for kids. And it was ironic. I felt like I was 12 working at this rehab that became a drug and alcohol counselor, worked with the kids. And my therapist said to me, who became my therapist for 25 years, said to me, Hillary, you have no idea how powerful you are. Mm-hmm. Power scares me because I've been overpowered. People have been standing over me and taking control over my life because I had placed myself in this victim role. Oh, it'll never happen to me. I'll never get better. How many people do we know? Oh, never mind. It's not worth it. You know, I'm not going in there. I'll never get better. And he encouraged me. He instilled confidence in me. And that's why getting in a community of people who are trying to elevate, the word enlighten means lightening my freaking load. Mm. I want to be in a lighter environment. I feel heavy, man. Mm-hmm. When you're in shame and guilt, man, that's a heavy frequency. It's like me putting 10-pound weights on my ankles and saying, go for a swim, honey. Mm-hmm. I'm going to die. So I need to be enlightened. I need to give myself permission. That's all I need. Just give yourself permission to allow yourself to be elevated into, brought into. It's like a magnet. It's going to pull you in. It's either going to pull you out, the good, the bad. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you get to a point. I make decisions based on, not by my feelings, FYI. Yeah. Because my feelings are going to change every 5 seconds. Yeah. I've come to accept that wholeheartedly. I can't rely on my feelings. Because if I relied on my feelings, I'd eat licorice for dinner every night. How about that? I can't. I've got to, you know, a thought becomes a feeling becomes an action becomes my character. Period. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Period. Over and over. It's rinse, cycle, wash, rinse, cycle, that whole thing. So when I get into the good and the bad, I get to make a decision because it's scary to go look at your past. It's really scary. But it's not, because it's already there. I hear people say, the girls are like, oh my God, I don't want to. It's just too hard. It's sitting in your forefront of your mind. It's just making every decision. Let's take it out. Let's look at it. Mm-hmm. Look at the boogeyman underneath the bed that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
I turn the light on, there ain't nothing there. So that's what we do. It's like you surround yourself in this environment that helps lighten your load. It says, man, you talk to other women or other men and you go, yeah, I was thinking about my past. I was looking at it. And look at the shit that drives me. I mean, my Uber driver, I call my fears my Uber driver. I say, I want to go to the best restaurant in town. My fear says you're not worthy of anything. It takes me to Del Taco. There's my Uber driver. It controls me. So I get to that point where I find out that my fears are not real. But I've given them so much power. But now that I'm tapping into a power greater than me, other than me, it encourages, it puts courage in me to take a risk and look at it. And then you do it maybe with a guide or someone spiritual or a friend. Why not? Let's examine this shit. Let's just have let's do it. And instead of making it, fuck, I got to go to therapy. Or I've got to go talk. How about you? I'm so excited. I get to purging. I'm cleaning out my closet.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my thought, becomes a feeling. I get excited, becomes an action. I start going down there into my deep, dark basement, throwing it out. And that becomes my character. My character becomes that I let things go.
Yes. Yeah. And I think one thing to perhaps clarify, I agree with you. I think making decisions based on feelings or emotions can be tough because, like you said, that's transitory. But I think it's also important to connect with the feelings. And someone once shared with me, which I think has really stuck with me, is your emotions and feelings get a seat at the table, but they're not the ones making the decision.
They're not the main meal.
Yes.
They can't be the main meal. Yeah. Very true. It's nice because I've had a lot of feelings, a lot of rage, a lot of anger, a lot of sadness. I've cried a lot. My iceberg started to melt. It was tears. It was a lot of tears. It was a lot of, and I got to see how much power I had by staying in my tears and my anger. I was keeping myself stuck. And so I started realizing that I had a little power to move, maybe turn the direction of this boat of tears I was sitting in. It's great to allow them to come up, but they're like, I think the Taoists say it's like a river. You have to let it flow. Otherwise, I'm the beaver that's storing it up. And what happens when I store things up?
Right.
You think of the beavers, right? That sediment and water is poisonous. Mm-hmm. To open it up and let it flow. And that.
Yes.
Let it flow, let it go.
Yes. Yeah.
There's crazy little sayings. But it's great to know and acknowledge that, you know what? I can smile. I can laugh. There's a lot of different emotions. It's not just four: smile, happy, sad, mad, scared.
Yeah. Yes.
But those are the only ones I think I have. And now I can allow them to pass through me. They can guide me, but they're not.
And I think that's an important distinction because I think, as you were touching on earlier, and to bring it back, when people resist the whole notion of God or a higher power, they're basically saying, I can be the one running the show. I don't need this higher. Yeah. But then to your point, if your feelings and emotions are changing, your mood's changing from one thing to the next, how are you even, you can't even control your own surroundings. Like so I think that's where people start struggling then, because it's, you have no handle on things. Meanwhile, you're telling yourself, no, I'm the one in control. Mm-hmm. And I think that dichotomy can be very tough for people to then navigate. And in my observation, that's what brings a lot of anxiety for people, because now it's, what's the truth?
It's when we attach, my identity becomes my feeling.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens is, it's unfair. That's what it is. And it's like that becomes who you are instead of allowing it to be a part of, I call it the soup theory.
Yes.
Part of your soup. It's not, you know, like you said, it's not the main course, it's just, it's like the salt and pepper.
Yep. Yes.
See, anything I give my focus to becomes powerful.
Correct.
What you think about, you bring about.
Yes.
When you focus on grows, all those, all energy frequency. That's all, whatever you put energy into, it will expand. If I put a lot of energy into throwing a fan around, there's wind. It expands everywhere. Practice just means I'm going to try it again and again. It doesn't mean conquer, make it, hone in on your skill. Just practice.
Mm-hmm.
God, this is not, I'm so heavy inside. Everything's heavy.
Yeah.
See what I'm just, here's my movie. I feel heavy inside. God, life is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
See that? That's a heavy. I get to practice going, oh, wow. I love how power of now. There's so many words. Yes. Everybody keeps reinventing what the original, whatever Jesus said, they reinvent it and they own it. It's, yeah, it's all being reinvented. Everything gets cycled.
Yes.
That's energy. So when you get to that feeling, instead of going, this is who I am. No, it's not, sweetheart. Come on. That's like someone needs to tell you the truth, not who you are.
Yes.
You're going to be gone in 2 minutes, especially a woman who has hormones. Oh my God. Call up once, 1 hour, and an hour later, I just feel so much better. It's like you were psycho an hour ago. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the guy who goes out and plays football and then comes back in. Yeah. And then 2 hours later, he's sleeping. Who are you? You're two different characters.
Right? Yeah.
So it's being able to look at that feeling and really observe it and go, wow, man, these feelings came up. Not I am feeling. That's an attachment.
Yes.
I am Chad. It becomes my character. Thought becomes feeling, feeling becomes action, action becomes your character. He's a mean guy. He's an asshole. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
What if you just practice, do it one thought at a time, one feeling at a time, saying, I'm feeling, like, check yourself.
Yes.
How are you feeling? I'm feeling anxious. Not I am anxious. Remember, that's an attachment.
Yes, yes.
Practice lightening up your load. Don't hold on to everything, babe. Just letting go a little bit. And then you can start going, wow, a lot of shit's coming up right now. Okay. Then I don't have to be what I feel.
Right.
And then I can go to my next indicated step. That's an action. You know, the feelings coming up today, I'm feeling really stuck. Okay. Let's put that aside. Feel it. Okay. I know what stuck feels like. But I'm going to work anyway.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the empowerment piece, again, coming back and not necessarily, I think, coddling people, because that's become very common too. And it's like, okay, if you're feeling this, then sure, you don't have to do the hard things today to pass. And unfortunately, in that approach, you don't grow.
We give out a lot of passes and then we get passed on and we wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If we give each other a disservice, it's, I had something happen last night where a girl had shared something and she got the everyone, oh, and I was the one person. I mean, I don't know, more will be revealed, but I walked up to her and I said, you have just created a complete world where everybody feels sorry for you. And she was like, it did. And I said, how's that going to work in your life? And I said, you said yes to this partnership. You're not a victim. You play a part in his behavior. He's reflecting you. You're reflecting her. And she was overwhelmed. She was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Just to know how you're feeling created this whole environment. You've created a whole stage of, I can't do anything. Everyone has to fix me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about if you say, wow, I did that. Now you're just by acknowledging I did that, you're taking your power back.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. I think that's such a important distinction that unfortunately at times is lacking in the world we live in. But I think it's also a testament to where you are and you also recognizing that you have agency, right? As you've shared in your story and taking that power back. So I appreciate all of that, Hillary. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you. Very really deep. Appreciate it. It's good. It's nice to be able to like exchange ideas and information without attaching to it. It's wow. Okay. I can see that. That's that observing, like going, wow, I like what he said. That was, I'm going to give myself an opportunity to see things a little differently. Why not?
Of course. That's how we grow, right? If we become attached to our ideas and perceptions, then we're not growing. And you can see the downside of that too, very quickly. Yeah.
Our society is really interesting right now.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
For listeners that want to learn more about your work, I know you're doing a lot of speaking and all of that. Like, what are some ways you can find that online?
I do. I have coaching. I'm not one who just wants to gather a bunch. I give a lot of time into the people I coach, and I'd be disservice to get like a trough. But I do coaching and I help people get to where they want to go. I don't want to be a guru. I don't want you to depend on me. I want to teach you how to depend on yourself, make friends with yourself, and to go to a power other than yourself to get you to the self you want to become.
Yeah.
So I do coaching and I do a lot of speaking engagements. So you can contact me if you guys want to contact me. If not, that's fine. At HillaryMombergerPowers.com. I have a website and we can book some time to talk and see if it's even the right avenue. If not, I can send it to you. You know what I mean? I want to help you help yourself.
Right.
So that's what I do. I information at HillaryMombergerPowers. You can contact me there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes, but thank you again. Really appreciate your time today and having this conversation with me.
Thank you. It was good. Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope I added to someone's world and at least cracked their egg a little bit and made them a little curious to maybe go down in the basement, grab a flashlight. It's not that scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Hillary. As always, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. That's the best and easiest way to support this podcast. You can leave up to a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple. Please check out the sponsors in the description, as well as the Easy Reflections newsletter, a zero-cost newsletter that goes out weekly, where I explore different mental health topics and provide practical tips and insights for the reader. The link to the newsletter can be found in the show note captions, where you can subscribe directly. Thank you again, and until next time.